This is Will's Band of the Week for July 5th, 2015. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
I'm giving Will the silent treatment.
And Chris, live in studio.
Hey! I like how you do that, where it's, you know, you just never know who's going to be in studio.
Right.
I was giving him the silent treatment in solidarity with you.
Oh,
some disparaging remarks.
Right, right before we started recording. It. Yeah, right before we started recording, I was... He threw a calumny at me, and so we're just going to let him do his podcast by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I guess it's a solo podcast, and Barrett and Chris are just going to sit here and observe. But I am pretty entertaining. It's kind of like watching the Letterman show or something, you know?
Well, he has Paul Schaefer that he has to talk to.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
A little call and response.
Right.
He formerly did, but not anymore.
Right.
Yeah, but we're still here. So, well, let's talk some music. What do you think?
That's what we're here for.
You know, I did notice that there was definitely some music news this week. So, this is just going to be filled with exciting stuff.
First of all,
in the category of things that make you feel old, and we have a theme, don't we? Kind of, you know, just being old, aging rockers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie Harry from Blondie.
Yeah.
She just turned 70.
That's crazy.
Well, yeah, let's see. They were big in the late 70s.
I guess that's when they started. And so, but the thing is, she must have been well into her 30s.
Yeah,
when like they hit it big.
Mid-30s. Good for her.
Yeah, so, but it kind of does make you feel old, though, right?
It does.
So there's that.
All right.
All right, so that was a quick one. We do have this.
And now it's time for the Death of the Week.
Chris Squire, the bass player for the band Yes.
I did see that.
He's the Death of the Week.
I heard that he's the only constant member through the history of Yes.
Right. So. And it's still been playing up, you know, pretty recently, I think. Because I saw a live video thing where he was playing, and it said it was just from maybe this year or 2014, maybe.
And I know people that went and saw him live, and I didn't understand why they did that, but it did prove to me that they are still around.
I think he was in his 60s, not as old as Debbie Harry, which is weird. It's another weird thing, right? So I don't know. It sounds like Barrett is going to not speak positively about Yes. But he was the bass player, and he did some interesting bass lines. So here's one.
Thank you.
Yep. That's Yes.
Yes, that's Yes.
So I guess that's progressive rock, right?
Yeah, totally. Do you guys like prog rock at all?
Well,
the only thing I like, and people might not agree that this is prog rock, but Pink Floyd, that's prog rock.
That's prog rock.
Yeah.
I like some of the
Everybody
older,
likes that.
But. I like some of the older Genesis that would fall into that.
Yeah, category. Really? Maybe yeah. Maybe so, you need to point me in the right direction, something to listen to.
If I think of Yes, that's the song I generally think of. And I think probably when I was about, whatever, 10 or something, that was being played on the radio. So it wasn't like I went and bought the Yes albums when I was older and was buying albums. But it still has kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of fun to hear it now.
I feel like he got a lot more play though because he's a bass player on this podcast though.
Yeah,
I feel like there was some favoritism there, given the host of this podcast is a bass player.
Well, that's part of my thing. I have to promote bass playing.
Didn't you send us some link about bass players are the most important part of the band?
Yeah, I did.
Some study.
Scientifically proven. Yes.
By some guy in a lab coat with a Bunsen burner.
Yeah.
I'd have framed that whole Death of the Week differently. Just like anonymous backing musician. Long forgotten band.
Some guy from some band
has died.
Yeah.
And now the name of his band is the answer to the question of whether he is dead or not.
That is correct.
That's right.
I'm sure he's happy about that.
That would be the the updated discussion now would be that the band would be Google proof, right? I mean, who would call their band Yes? That's just a ridiculous name for a band.
Right. How long was that session where they're sitting around going the guys from Bread are next door.
Right. Did you guys come up with a name for your band yet? Yes. Okay, I'll write that down. No, that's not too late.
Yes.
I already made the order for the
definitely some Who's On First.
Yeah.
Possibilities there.
Definitely.
Did you name your band yet? Yes. All right, well, what is it? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Yeah.
Yeah. They have a pretty fair number of songs that you've probably heard. You know, if you listen to, you know, like, I know Baird and I listen to, you know, the Rockin' Apple. That's the kind of band they would play on the Rockin' Apple.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris didn't listen to the Rockin' Apple.
Though. I didn't listen to the Rockin' Apple.
You didn't
I'm sorry.
Grow up in the right part of the world for right. that. But no. It's always fun anytime you go up north now.
Yeah.
You're playing whatever, your own music, and you're like, wait a minute, I'm near Appleton. I'm going to try to guess what's playing on WAPL. Safe bets would always be, you know,
gotta be say Zeppelin,
Rush,
right?
Yeah. Zeppelin.
How about the Cars, Bob Seger, and Boston?
Yeah, those are very good bets, too. Rush might be the number one best bet.
Yeah, isn't it funny? Maybe the whole working class Canadian kind of like just fit well with the working class of northern United States. It's Rush was just incredibly popular.
Yeah.
And I'm sure what they would play now would still be the same tracks, the same old ones from 1981.
Well, they've played some new things now. Like they would maybe put in Pearl Jam would be about like the
new stuff. Yeah.
Prove that they're still cutting edge.
On the cutting edge. Yeah.
Doesn't have to be good to be a classic, just has to be old.
That's right. Yep. That's true.
Yep.
Barrett and I both have live reports.
Yes, so let's. Who's going
to
go first?
Let me knock mine out of the way real quick. It's
okay.
10 seconds long. Okay. I went to Summerfest and saw Public Enemy, and it was fun.
Yeah.
And I was drunk, and that's about it. There's your report. that's
Which stage did they play?
Like the Miller Oasis stage? Not the Harley stage, the Miller.
Public Enemy. Is there somebody famous from another band who's in Public Enemy?
Chuck D.
Well, there's Chuck D.
Okay.
And then there's Flavor Flav. And then there's Professor Griff, who got kicked out of the band in the late 80s for a spell because he was making disparaging comments about Jews.
But he's back now?
Yeah, he was back there on stage. I ran into a girl I know before the concert, and she's like, who are you going to see? And I said, Public Enemy. She's like, are those the guys with the clocks? And I'm like,
yeah, yes, kind of.
That's the one thing you know about Public Enemy, then Godspeed. But yeah.
They have clocks?
Flavor Flav wears a giant clock.
Mm-hmm. Huh. He got that from The Time, right?
But
wasn't there a clock involved with that band, too?
Morris Day and The Time?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, okay. you can't go to Summerfest and just see one band, though. You must have seen some other bands.
Not really. Weren't we got there, any, there we like, walked around.
You know, local version of 38 Special or something playing? No.
Gary Clark Jr. was playing that night, as were, I forget who the big main headliner was, like the Zac Brown Band or something. Hmm. Or no. It was the brothers, the Kings of
Doobie
Leon.
Doobie Brothers? Oh, okay. No,
Kings of Leon were playing that night.
I thought you were going to say Johnny and Donnie Van Zant.
No, Avett Brothers played last night and had a really bad crowd, evidently.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah. So, I yeah, guess, it was a bunch of 40-year-old white guys at Public Enemy, which is about what you'd expect. But, yeah, so no real highlights of the show.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun.
All right. I have missed Summerfest for another year. So we should probably go back sometime. But yeah, Barrett did not miss
it. I went on, I guess it was a week ago, Saturday, and I didn't get drunk because I was with my son and wife.
But they both did.
They got drunk, but I had to drive.
Right.
Yeah. No, well, we did drive home, so it was really, you know, you really had to kind of watch it because it was the late show. But they played at the BMO Harris Pavilion. Have you been there?
No.
It is really nice. It's right by the Marcus Amphitheater.
Oh.
So it kind of juts out into the lake a little
bit. Wait, you haven't said who you saw.
This is called the lead up. I'm doing a little groundwork here.
Okay.
And now you make me feel stupid for describing the venue before I talk about
you just said
lips.
And they played in this place, and I'm like, well, who?
Yeah.
You're burying
now
the lead here.
Now you get the silent treatment.
You're burying.
Will,
okay,
we're good.
I can
again
talk now. All right, good.
But
good. So this is a new, like, is that the one that's relatively new and it's a like a permanent venue?
Because I don't know how new it is, but yeah, it's
some of those places are, I guess they're permanent, but like some of them are like really bad, you know, like aluminum benches.
Right. No, this is not like that. This has individual seats.
And did you have reserved seats?
We did. And we sat, you know, kind of like audience right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we were fairly close, I guess, like row S, whatever number letter of the alphabet that is. So just beyond where the reach of the confetti cannons is where we were sitting.
Did we say who the band is yet?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
That's irrelevant. It's irrelevant.
Confetti canyons, cannons. So yeah.
Hey, there's a new Confetti Canyons.
That's another name for a band.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
But, yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen them before.
Yes.
I hadn't, and JJ had.
I have.
And, you know,
about
I mean,
three times,
mm-hmm,
I think.
You know.
Has your Uncle Louie seen them?
No.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was the
Uncle
fan.
Charlie. No, he
Uncle
never
Charlie,
saw
yeah.
He never got to see him live.
Good
well, he
him
probably wouldn't have either, but.
Oh, the.
He wasn't a live rocker guy, but he could appreciate recorded rock. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So let's hear about this show, Barrett.
Well, first of all, Wilson is just a huge super fan, and I don't know how many times I go to a concert and know every single song they play.
Yeah.
And can tell you what
it's
album
rare.
It's on.
Yeah.
Very, very, very rare. Wilson knew everything and be like a couple of notes. He'd be like, oh, this one's called. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I love the Flaming Lips, but I don't know all their names of the songs.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that's the fourth track on The Terror.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It was unbelievable. And he was...
He must have really liked it.
He really liked it. And, you know, they have the big light show and come out with the inflatable characters, and Wayne Coyne gets into the little... Not a little, it's like a big hamster ball type thing and goes out into the crowd and all the stuff that you expect. Some people might think that's kind of gimmicky, whatever, but it was, I don't know. I mean, I thought it was spectacular. I really liked it a lot. And Wilson even more so than I did. But the last song they played was Do You Realize?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
He was, he might be listening sometime to this. He was sobbing. He was so moved.
Wow.
Before that, they were playing, what was that song? I don't know. One of their other, like, emotional, existential type songs.
Feeling Yourself Disintegrate?
They did play that. I don't know if that was the one.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, maybe, like, that you and I were never meant for the future. We're not going to make it, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. We were, like, JJ and I were talking, and he punched me in there and was like, shut up. I'm like, whoa. And then later he's like, I'm sorry. I was having a moment there. So he was literally moved to tears. And
that's
just
great.
Not just like when you're at a movie, you're like,
yeah,
you know, like Old Yeller or whatever, but like, like heaving sobs.
Wait until he figures out what these songs are actually about.
Yeah.
So. Wow. It's got to be like the best show he's ever seen in his mind.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, number two would be when he saw Belle and Sebastian when the singer had had laryngitis and it really wasn't that great of a show.
Mm-hmm.
So he hadn't seen that many, but I have a feeling that when he's our age, he'll be like, yeah, I remember back in 2015. I saw the Flaming Lips. I mean, he's just at the right age
for
it to be
great.
Your all-time favorite show.
You should have him blog about it. Say something on
I should.
Yeah, so that he can go back and figure it out.
Yeah, we could have had him on the podcast, too.
Well, he would love that. Maybe we can record a little segment.
Yeah, we'll have to get... We haven't had him as a special guest yet.
Yeah, just record something on your phone. Just him talking about what the Flaming Lips concert meant to him. And we'll splice it in.
I will do that.
Yeah, so it might be spliced in, like, right now.
All right, and we're back.
This is for. Oh wait, okay. I was going to give a little note for the editors. This is where you put it in right here.
All right, so where would you rank it in your top 100 concerts?
That's a good question.
64?
No, I mean it would be in the top because of the experience of seeing it with Wilson and watching his reaction.
Yeah.
For that reason only, I'd have to put it at like number two.
That's great.
You know,
wow.
If the three of us were there, I don't know where I would have put it.
It's two just behind the Beatles at the Hollywood Bowl, right?
Yes, right.
Simon and Garfunkel in Central Park.
That was got to be up there. That was another good one.
Woodstock good one. When you were there.
Yep. Then there was, Foghat at Titan Stadium back in 77.
What was the festival
amazing.
Where the Rolling Stones played? And
I
the
know you did.
Yeah.
And the,
oh, the
Altamont. Hell's Angels. Altamont, yes.
Yeah.
Hell's Angels.
Altamont was great, but then my buddy got stabbed and made this big...
You got shot.
I got shot.
That sucked. But you got a good story out of it, though.
You guys have seen that documentary, right? Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I could watch that every week for the rest of my life. That's how good that is. What is it called? I can't remember. That's how much I love it.
Just this week on Blu-ray, the... was it the Decline and Fall of Civilization Part 2 about the 80s metal by Penelope Spheeris? I have not seen it.
I don't know anything about any of that.
It's supposed to be like the greatest rock documentary
really?
Of all time. Yeah.
And it's on for free now.
Well, no, it came out on Blu-ray this week, I think. And so we'll have to hunt that down and talk about it. Speaking of movies, you watched a movie.
Yeah, and then I recommended that you watch it.
And I watched it.
Let's talk about what I thought about it without saying what it was.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay. Builds suspense.
It was it was about Nina Simone. It was called What Happened, Miss Simone. I think there's a comma in there. And it goes through her whole life and kind of the ups and downs. You know, it wasn't really presented like a behind the music type thing, but it could fit into that sort of a thing. There's the rise. And then kind of a fall, and then a redemption or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, they hint at the fall right at the beginning. So the whole time you're thinking, oh, God, what's going to happen?
Right.
It's kind of a cliffhanger.
And I only wish that before I had watched it that I'd sat down and wrote, you know, like 25 words. What are my impressions of Nina Simone and her career? Think of everything you can think about her that you know and put it down. It would have been about 25 words.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I thought it was just...
I probably can't come up with 25 words.
Yeah, well, give like five. Like, even if it's like when you hear Nina Simone, what are things that you think?
She was a singer, and she was good at singing, and she had a few hits that maybe a few of which I would recognize if I heard them.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's kind of, that would be a common thing. Maybe other people would have a little bit more of, you know, an impression, but... I didn't have a very big one, but when she got super political, at first you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, because she's singing like Strange Fruit, which Kanye West appropriated.
Yes, blood on the leaves.
And when you're watching this movie, that seems like a bigger sin than I was even thinking when I heard it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mississippi Goddams, you're like, wow, great. She's really into the civil rights movement. And she went so far. I don't even want to, these are spoilers.
Yeah, well, she...
You'd just be really surprised at the arc of her career.
Yeah, it starts with her life. I guess she started off in Philadelphia. She was trained all of her life in the South by an old white lady to play classical piano. So she spent 8 hours a day learning how to play, you know, Brahms and Mozart and all the classics. And she went to college to do that, didn't get into the school that she wanted to, so then started playing bars, started singing as well, and became, you know, this big jazz pianist and singer, you know, legendary singer.
Right.
And then in the mid-60s, you know, started getting involved with the, you know, the Black Power movement. And it was right around the time the church bombing in Birmingham that killed... 4 girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started getting more political, and then at some point the rails kind of come off.
Yeah. I, you know, it's fascinating. And we got some off air.
No, I was just thinking we should play a song just to give people an idea.
Yeah, yeah. And
so I was
okay.
Pointing out a song.
Great.
And while he looks that up, I'll talk about her husband a little bit. So she marries mm-hmm. this guy, and his during the first half of the movie you get the idea that this guy is like trying to be the most reviled black man in America
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, first of all, he's, you know, physically violent with her, beating her up. But then when she starts getting into the civil rights stuff, he's like, yeah, that's just a waste of her time getting into all that civil rights stuff.
Right.
like he's Samuel L. Jackson's character in Django Unchained.
Yeah.
Like he's,
but right. I mean, and later in retrospect, she almost agrees with him a little bit when she's saying, you know, sometimes I wish I had just been a great African-American classical pianist.
Right.
That's what I sort of wish I did. So she had some regrets about her career, and her extreme activism did, you know, fairly or not, result in a real lack of work. At some point
yeah.
in the 60s. So
and at some point she just disappeared.
She just left
yeah.
the United States and ended up in Belgium and France.
So I'm going to suggest a song.
All right. What's it going to be?
My Baby Just Care For Me, which I believe is one of her first big hits.
My baby don't care for shows. My baby don't care. My baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for cars and races. My baby don't care for hot tone places. Liz Taylor is not a star high. And even Lana Turner's smile, something he can't see. My baby don't care, who knows? My baby just cares for me.
Nina Simone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm definitely going to watch that movie now.
Yeah. I hope we didn't give away too much.
Yeah, maybe I won't watch it. You guys gave it all away. No,
I'd almost want to go back during the editing and put it on a spoiler alert, because I think it's a lot more fun to watch if you're just like, oh, here's this movie about this singer that I've heard of, but I don't know anything about her. And at the end, you're like, holy shit. You know, right?
Yeah. Sure. Well, it's on Netflix streaming, so sit down 5 minutes from now and watch it whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So there you go.
Music news, entertainment news, death of the week. Got about, Apple Music now. We could talk about that.
Death of the week, Spotify.
You know what? I was thinking that Spotify was going to get killed. But then I read that a very large number of Spotify listeners use the free version of Spotify. You know, that has ads, and which I can't imagine doing. But I think with that, and what I don't know is how much money they make on the ad version versus the, you know, the paid version. But given that, and the fact that Android people, it's going to be clumsy to like sign up for Apple Music on your Android thing, right? So I think Spotify might stick around.
I hope so.
I hope so too, because I mean, you can't just have one company that owns everything,
right? Especially, I mean, look at Apple. When Spotify came out and the other streaming services and stuff, Apple basically put all their chips, like, nope, that's not going to work. We're putting all our chips on MP3. That's what people are going to continue using. Well, they bet wrong, and they have enough money. They're like, oh, okay, well, instead of that, we'll just have a new thing that'll be basically Apple Spotify, and we'll crush them. And then they're going to. They might not completely die, but
yeah, I think Spotify was even
annoying.
It was even losing money before,
right?
Yeah,
before
and
Apple.
If that's,
so
if that's
could
the
just
case,
crush them for good.
Yeah,
maybe. I mean, maybe.
I think they were up to like 7 million users, and I thought I saw something where they had to almost double that to turn a profit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so now that might be out the window.
Maybe though, in a strange sense, like, I mean, Apple Music is gonna kill the MP3, right?
Yeah,
it's dead.
People aren't
right
gonna
now.
Buy music.
Why would you anymore, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
really.
You could buy, like, there's still a reason to, you have the same reason to buy physical music because you need something to look at and whatever, but MP3 has no value anymore.
Well,
so maybe that helps Spotify in a little way.
I think one thing that just on initial impression that Apple Music does better than Spotify is that you can add things to your library such that to you it just looks like you own it, even though you don't really. But it's always been an issue for me, the streaming concept, just because it's hard to catalog the stuff that you've listened to, and I want to keep track of things that I've listened to in the past. Otherwise, you know, you're going to forget the thing that you listened to in 2012 that was your, you know, 27th favorite album of 2012. You would just completely forget about it. But if you at least have a way of like cataloging your stuff, like you can just pretend that you bought it even though you didn't, then that's acceptable to me. So I think you can do that with the Apple thing. So I think it might work out better than Spotify, at least if you've got a Mac and you've got Apple
right.
products. So
just last week I stumbled upon the Always album from last year.
Yeah.
Like one of the songs, I heard it. I'm like, I think I kind of liked that band.
<It's> like,
and it was like my number two album of the year.
Yeah.
And I could not think of their name.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, what is that band?
That's pretty bad. Crazy.
Because, you know, once on streaming, you listen to it, and then when it's gone, it's gone. You don't own it. You can't look at it. It's not on your bookshelf, and you just have to remember. So I've started keeping lists of, like, I have a 2015 list and a 2014 list on Spotify, and I just dump everything that I listen to onto those lists to give me an idea of what I was listening to.
So now if you switch over to Apple Music, you'll have to like manually figure out how to regenerate those lists.
Indeed.
Right? Which is kind of a pain. So but I think fundamentally we would all agree that a subscription service whereby you can listen to like everything in the world for $10 a month is a pretty good deal for people like us, right? Because I mean, it's like you would buy more than $10 a month worth of
right.
records or CDs or whatever. So
right.
it's a pretty darn good deal, really. Now, maybe the downside of that is that artists can't make any more money, can no longer make money selling music. But
well, no, this will be, I mean, because it makes, I mean, not only does it make MP3s no longer desirable, it makes stealing music like completely ridiculous. Why would anybody do that?
Yeah. Why would you not
Why
pay
bother?
$10 a month when you can get every song ever?
Right. With no effort whatsoever.
Right.
So, in a way, if everybody is paying $10 a month, it'd be like a new, you know, It's kind of a new system, but artists making just as much as they used to.
There was a guy that just came out with a book about the whole history of music piracy and MP3s and all that stuff. And his point was that stealing music has gotten really expensive lately, because if you want to do it, you know, you can do torrents, but then you're going to probably get your computer infected. So he ended up subscribing to all these like illicit servers and such for, you know, 50, 60, hundreds of bucks to steal music, and figured it wasn't worth it. So now, so now you're just back to where you can just, you know, do it this way.
Right.
Yeah.
Forget the name. I think it's a positive development.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I want artists to get paid. The more they get paid, the better, more incentive they have to make good music. So.
Right. And to stick around for a little while.
Yeah.
Who was I just reading? I can't remember, but somebody was saying that, you know, in today's climate, they wouldn't have. Why am I even bothering if I can't think of the band? Whatever. They couldn't. There's no way they could have made this classic run of albums, because after two, they weren't making enough money, so they're gone. But
well, on the one hand,
maybe it was like even REM or something. I don't know.
I mean, you don't need like a major label or anything. Basically, you just need a microphone and a computer hookup to get your music out there.
Yeah.
But
that's all we need to have, theoretically, every single person in the world listening to our podcast.
Yeah, but
if we were on like this, some kind of a, whatever the podcast equivalent of a label was, like NPR music or whatever, we'd have a lot more listeners.
But because, the major label system doesn't work anymore, you don't have the backing that you need to get known.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have thousands of people out there just, you know, kind of swimming around with no direction.
Yeah.
And nobody will ever listen to them.
Yeah. As opposed to this podcast that's out there and thousands
we know what
of people
that's like.
Listen to
it. Yeah.
I noticed either yesterday or today, the band Cloud Cult started following us on Twitter.
Wow.
Isn't that exciting? We're one of only 6,000 people or Twitter accounts that they follow.
Wow.
How many followers do they have versus following? Is it roughly equal?
It was close, yeah.
Okay.
I think they have like 8,000 followers, and they're following 6,000 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We have like 10 followers or something.
Nobody's had time yet from Cloud Cult to click accept all the things, like, you know.
Well, they're coming back to Madison, too. They're playing the MLK Street Free thing, so you should get in touch with them and do an exclusive podcast with them before they get
here. Is that this week?
Yeah.
I don't know when it starts.
It's sometime when I'm going to be gone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, New Pornographers are
going to
be here.
I'm gone for, like, all of those. Those are, like, all the weekends. It's a crazy summer, and I'm like, all of my work vacation time is going to be used up, which is already pretty generous. It's just crazy. But I shouldn't be complaining about that. But I'm like gone for all those King Street shows, I think. So
it's too bad.
Too bad.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about a highlighted artist of the week.
Sure.
We're going to start with Chris's band. He's been promoting a lot this week, and I started listening to them, and I kind of liked them too. Yeah. Who is this band, Chris?
Okay, so I've been listening to the band Wolf Alice, who is another in the long line of the British bands that are going to change the music world forever as we know it, in the vein of Arctic Monkeys and the Vaccines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This album just came out last week, but they have done, I think, 3 EPs, and a couple of songs on here were released on their EPs over the past 5 years. So some of the songs have been around for a little while, so they've already got kind of a little bit of a fan following. So the band is made up of a woman who started it along with one of the guys. Her name is Ellie Roussel, and they are from London. And so they originally started as a folk band in 2010, but then got a couple more guys into the band, and now they're more of a rockin' type of band. And it's, it's pretty just a straightforward rock album. And so before I talk anymore, let's just play a song. We'll go with the second song on the album, which is called Bros. And I really like the drums in this song, so listen to those.
Wolf Alice.
Yeah, I do like the drums. I agree.
Yeah, they're a little bit off time, doing something a little bit different.
Yep.
So it's funny. I mean, you have rock bands like this that probably sound like 100 different bands, but I can't really think of one that I would compare them to.
Right. Another thing about it is that individually the songs aren't that remarkable, but I think they have an interesting combination of sounds, because sometimes they are even a little shoegazy, and sometimes they're kind of folky. Mm-hmm. And it's just an interesting set of tools in the toolbox. That's how you would say it, right, Chris?
Yes.
A five-tool player or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they're five-tool players.
Yeah.
Toolbox, Ed West. Remember?
I do remember Ed West.
All right, I'll make a pick.
All right.
I'm going to pick the track Swallowtail, and that's one of these slow build type songs.
And is it the only one that there's a male singer on?
Boy, I'm not sure, but
I think it is.
He's good too, which is cool when your primary singer who's not your primary singer is still good. So it's cool. So I'm going to start it in the middle, because that way you get to hear the end part, which rocks out, which is cool. So here we go. Of the shore as we fell, I never thought we'd hit this hard. It's not right, but it's too late for that now. To the ground, head straight down into the ground. The ground will soon be gone. The ground, the ground will soon be gone. That's called Rocking Out.
Yep. Now, you know, I got an email earlier this week where you said at the X minute mark,
yeah,
this song is where it really starts to rock.
That was it.
So indeed. I didn't go back and find it, but as soon as I heard that, I was like, that's what he was talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, it goes on for 5 minutes, and then you think the song's over, and it's like, wait a minute, we got to do this rock thing. So I think it's great.
It's probably worth mentioning, I don't know, I have to be delicate about this. The band also has aesthetic value in that the lead singer, Ellie, is
she's
impressive.
Cute. Now we get to the real heart of why Chris likes
it. I listened to them a little bit, and then I'm like, okay, well, let's figure out what they're like. And so I watched the first video, and I'll play this song, Moaning Lisa Smile. And the video starts out, and you're like, oh, look, they hired this model to be in the song. And then they find out, nope, that's her.
It's actually her. Wow.
Yeah. So, play a little bit of Moaning Lisa Smile. It's a rocker.
She's over.
There you go. It's a good summer rocker. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be on a lot of, you'll see it on a lot of top 10 lists at the end of the year. I should also mention they got their band name from a short story by Angela Carter. So there you go.
Mm. All right.
Is it what, did you read that story then?
I haven't gone that deep into this band yet to find out.
He will be doing that, but just not yet.
Yeah, of course I will.
That last song sounded like arena rock, I think. I mean, you could see how they could be described as like the band with the big potential. Cause, but I mean, you know, on the right side of arena rock, it's a right, fun, catchy song.
Yeah, I mean,
big sound.
They have, there are a lot of hooks on this album, which I think is what drew me. They have some riffs that are a mile wide, mm-hmm. easy to like. So,
yep.
If you make rock and music with lots of hooks, what, you know, how can that be improved upon, right?
No.
Right, that's it. Like, pretty special. You need. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Number one
Well,
example.
Then you're talking about the gold standard there.
Yeah.
We already talked about how we're each going to shell out, like, $75 to go see that stupid band, right?
I
don't think Chris is committed. I think I'm going to buy two tickets to make sure Barrett goes, because I don't want you to like, balk at it, because, I mean, this is a lifetime experience.
Yes. Well, Chris, you'll go. Play some blackjack.
All you have to do is go win enough money to go to get in.
Exactly.
Oh, automatic.
Yeah.
Can I just throw my 38 ticket special down on like red?
Yeah. On... Double or nothing, yeah, on the 38 right. special ticket.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. All right. Ready to move on to the next band?
No, that's how we're going to do it. We'd start off with $100. Yep. And we have to play for 2 hours. And if at the end we have enough money to go to the concert, then we'll go. Right?
Yeah.
No, I'll go.
I might just go give my money to a homeless guy.
Yeah.
So I don't have to.
Right.
All right. Will's got another band.
Mac McCann. Shouldn't we be talking about Mac McCann? Well, we're going to. I've decided that we're going to. But he should be right kind of in our demographic. He's an aging rocker. Not as old as me. He's probably in his 40s, right?
That's old.
And Superchunk founder and Merge Records founder. So he's got cred. And he's done what was that other band? He had another side project thing. But this is the first thing, I think, that he's released under just his name. And it's an album called Non-Believers. And it really is like 80s pop, sort of. But I've had it on my current playlist for quite a while, and it doesn't go away. So it decided that it was going to be podcast worthy.
It insists upon itself.
Right. And so here we are. So there's a lot of synth on this. There's a lot of almost John Hughes movie type moods on it. This one's probably the most rockin' track. It's called Box Batteries.
Start a fire, and you can't pretend. You can't pretend.
That's Mac McCon.
Yeah, that's good. I like that buzzed out synth in there.
Yeah, it seems pretty lo-fi for a guy who started his own label.
Yeah, so
that's definitely got to be...
it's kind of on purpose, I think.
Intentional, like, yeah.
A lot of the album has drum machines on it, which he's just kind of using in a, you know, pretty creative way, so it's not annoying drum machines. And that track definitely sounds probably more lo-fi than most of it. But yeah, it's not like he couldn't afford to do a slick production if he wanted to. All right, I'm going to keep them coming. This is a slower one called Real Darkness. Mac McCon. It's the sensitive side of Mac McCon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. I like it.
He's been rocking out with Superchunk, so decided to get sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good album, I think.
I wish I could learn to trust Merge Records again, like anything they did that I would like. I'm just not there anymore.
I think
10 years ago, they were awesome.
I think when they signed Arcade Fire, they were on their way out with
you,
right?
Yeah, that was kind of the beginning of the end there.
Barrett was like, oh, no. It's probably how they made all their money, though. You got to get an Arcade Fire every once in a while. Nobody's going to have that luck, really. But
and they made some money off of Spoon, but not nearly that much.
Now they're not going to make any money off anything now with that Apple's taken over.
Yeah.
That's right.
Music distribution for the world.
Yeah.
That's today's lighthearted observation.
All right. Somebody tell me whether I should play track 2 or track 3. Can't decide.
2.
I was going to say 3.
Yeah.
Nope, Chris spoke first, so it's going to be track 2. Lost Again. Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and declare vindication on that choice.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Yeah, thanks. That was a good song.
I'm sure one of the reasons you liked it probably was the bass, right? There's a lot of good bass on this
standard,
album.
Standard, yeah.
I think he's got a good, a real good feel for bass. Assuming that he played it, now his wife could have. She was his bass player for Superchunk, right? So I think I'm going to presume that he probably played most or all the instruments on the album, and I think the bass is used very well throughout it.
Here we go again with the bass. You know when people say something is basic? That's like not a real compliment.
So no.
That's kind of, I don't know.
Do you think there's something about women playing bass that there, because there seems to be a lot of female bass players, like Kim Deal in the Pixies and Darcy in Smashing Pumpkins and gosh, I had some more in mind. But yeah, there seems to be like a lot of female bass players. Is that a thing?
Yeah. Yeah,
more so than guitar players.
You know, I'm not sure. Maybe you just notice them. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. How about Rose Marshack from the Poster Children? Got to throw that one in.
Okay.
Sure.
Because you know that they are one of the original podcasters. Like, one of the very first podcasters there ever was Rick and Rose from the Poster Children doing their podcast called Radio Zero. Like back in 2004 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're pioneers.
Hmm.
Now they just kind of do it every once in a while. There's a feed, and if you subscribe to their feed, just every once in a while one will pop up. But they're podcasting legends in my mind.
Let's make one thing clear, though. If people are going to listen to one podcast, it shouldn't be that one.
It should be this one. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Well, that's all the music I have. You guys got anything else? Oh, I have one more thing I can mention. Relating to another podcast. Chris told us about a year ago about a podcast called Song Exploder. Have you still been listening to that?
No.
You know, sometimes they don't do things that are that interesting, and so I don't listen to all of them, but I'm still subscribed to the feed. And the last one they did was a song from the latest U2 album. And it was funny because, okay, what are you thinking? There's going to be a podcast deconstructing a song from the new U2 album. Right? Your first thought is, well, it's just going to be, this is not going to be good, right? Or maybe I'm going to be surprised and it'll be interesting. So it was as bad as you would imagine. And it was the Edge saying, you know, I came up with this riff. And so I recorded it on my, you know, demo recording of it. And, you know, I got really excited about this riff. And he plays this riff that's like the most generic riff you've ever heard it in your life. And you're like, how does a guy who's just one of the most famous musicians, rock musicians on earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
He plays this just, if just some guy in his basement came up with that riff and said, I was so fired up about this riff, you'd just be like, yeah, it's just a riff, you know? It's weird to me how unremarkable it was, and yet, in his mind, still that completely, maybe that just speaks to the idea that, like, any basic rock and roll thing, if it hits you at the right moment, you might be able to find it exciting. So, because apparently he did. I don't think he was being insincere. He was like,
what was that movie he did with Jack White where he talks about, like, he basically says, yes, I'm a crappy guitar player, but I layer it with all these effects
to make it
sound like I'm good. And
right.
Like, that's just his style.
What was that movie? It was
It Might Get Loud.
That's it.
Yep.
The Edge and Jack White and who's the Led Zeppelin guy.
John Paul Jones?
Wait, isn't he the bass player?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, what's his face?
We
gotta definitely cut this. Gotta cut this.
Oh,
out.
Jimmy Page.
Yeah.
Jesus
that's
Christ.
That's all coming out. That's all coming
so,
out.
So, all right, ready? Ready to cut?
Yeah.
Cut.
Okay. Start over.
It was.
Yep.
It was. Hold on.
I'm gonna leave this all in. You know.
It was that movie. It Might Get Loud with, of course, Jimmy Page.
Yeah.
Right. And
starring Jack, Jimmy Page.
And Jack White. Yeah. And The Edge.
Oh, I think we talked about that movie a long time ago.
Yes, we
and,
did.
Because I remember, I mean, I was commenting about how The Edge had like this big wall of effects that he was playing through. And, you know, so on one hand, okay, he's relying completely on those effects. But on the other hand, you know, he's pretty good at using those effects, and at least for his first few albums, it was pretty darn good. I just don't think they've worn well over the years.
Yeah, I just...
As a band.
I'm still not anti-U2, but I think their greatest skill is convincing people that they're a big, important band.
Yeah, it's kind of that
way. Yeah.
By the way, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, the first album he ever bought was U2... He called it Live at Red Rocks in 1983, but it's not called Live at Red Rocks. What's it called? It's called
Under a Blood Red Sky.
Yes, he called it. He said the first album I ever bought was U2 Live at Red Rocks Sunday Bloody Sunday, and he got the name of it wrong.
Yeah, I think he's probably lying too.
Yeah, probably.
He's just trying to appeal to me, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be it.
That was quite an album, though.
Yeah,
and some spectacular videos of
that whole
the
Sunday,
Red Rocks
Bloody
thing
Sunday
with
thing.
The torches and the fog, and it's like, whoa, that's cool.
I've never seen the video. I've heard the album.
Yeah, you should watch it. You should watch it.
So there you go.
All right, that's the U2 news of the week. We could talk about the Dave Grohl
news. I was going to say, we had to sneak him in here somehow, he being the godfather of all music.
I didn't save that article. I sent that to you guys. There was a press person, was it Washington Post somewhere? They were complaining, and they were saying that they would not be taking any photos at the Foo Fighters show because there was a contract that required the Foo Fighters to maintain complete control over everything. It was just kind of crazy. It was just another indication of Dave Grohl's ego, as Barrett correctly noted.
Right. Yeah, there were several elements to it. First of all, the newspaper or website or whatever it was that was going to take pictures. The band had the right to reject anything that they wanted to use. Like, I don't like that one. You can't. Like, what?
Yeah.
That's bad enough.
Yeah.
And, I think the worst part of it was that all rights to the photography would automatically transfer to the band, and they could use it in the future in whatever way they saw fit without any compensation to the photographer.
What?
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Right? Well,
I think so.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's incredible, you know. So, I don't know, maybe it's a team of lawyers that did this, and maybe it's, I have no idea. It doesn't make him look very good, but so I don't like that guy. I'm sick of that guy. By all accounts though, he's a nice person.
They are going to do apparently they're going to do a new season of his show.
Oh, cool. That's
except
awesome.
Except in Europe.
What's his
like
show?
Like European cities.
Oh,
The city-by-city history of music.
So they'll make a TV show, which is like basically a episodic commercial for their stupid album that nobody wants?
I think that's Dave Grohl is... I think he's turning into Gene Simmons.
It's like that movie with the Neve Mixer. It's like, oh, this is cool. And at the end... Wait a minute. Yep. I've just been watching an infomercial.
Because he bought
for
the Neve
Dave
Mixer.
Grohl's stupid album.
Yep. That's how he does it. He lures you in.
Oh,
it's the honey trap.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Kim Gordon, by the way, also a female bass player.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Wikipedia has a fit page of famous female bass players.
Speaking of bass players, let's talk about some baseball players. The Brewers are winning again. 6-0.
If they just win like 20 more in a row, they'll be average.
Mm-hmm.
But it is good to see them winning some games.
What's up with this Gerardo Parra guy? He's all of a sudden on fire. He's great.
I've never heard of him.
So,
that's just how much I've been paying attention.
Yeah. He's batting like .307. He's got another home run today.
Mm.
Good defensively.
Hey, did you know that the U.S. is playing for the Women's World Cup title tonight?
Mm-hmm. By the time this goes up, we will know the outcome.
Mm-hmm. I might have to actually watch some of that.
Did you watch the woman on England who scored a goal on an own goal in like the, was it the 91st minute or something?
No, that sounds terrible.
I did hear that. Yeah,
it
was in injury
brutal.
Time. I didn't see a replay. Was it?
She's the ball's coming at her and she just turns to try to kick it out of bounds. And kicks it right into her own goal.
It's
just brutal.
Was the goalie like all ready to get it too?
The goalie wasn't even like paying attention.
Oh, so
it's
okay.
Just like, boom.
So it wouldn't have. I mean, if she's not there, it just goes out of bounds.
What do you mean? Oh no, it was coming at her, and she was just trying to clear it, trying to get it out.
Mm. That sucks.
If she doesn't touch it, the goalie probably gets it.
So
she redirected
it
essentially.
So I guess you'd say that's a combined mental and physical error, right?
Mm-hmm.
As but, opposed to, like, at least it's not a complete mental error, like that Vikings guy who intercepted the pass but then ran the same direction for a touchdown.
Jim Marshall.
Yeah. He was so excited, he just kept running, and he scored a safety for the other team, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
But I think that the British are still upset about that, because this morning I was trying to find out what time the World Cup game was on tonight. So I asked Siri, who is British, on my phone.
Oh.
Here, so why is Siri British? Okay,
Barrett's going to do it right now. Here we go.
What time is the Women's World Cup final on?
Sorry, I don't know about FIFA Women's World Cup.
Sorry, I don't know about FIFA Women's World Cup.
Come on, Siri.
How much more basic can a question get than that? I didn't even say FIFA. Question.
I don't know about it.
She brought FIFA in there on her own.
Yeah.
She's trying
so
to...
still bitter.
Yeah, she's erased it from her memory.
Mm-hmm.
British Siri.
Can you change the Siri voice? Like, can you make it a man if you want?
Yeah.
They did win their the third place game against Germany yesterday, though. So.
Oh, that's good.
So, good for them.
Okay, we've blathered on long enough. It's always the point of the podcast where we question, is anybody still listening? And we're never going to know that. It's one of those things, unknowable
questions. If you are listening, send us an email and we'll send you $5.
Yeah, that's it.
Or £5 or £5 lira.
It would be easy enough. You just say, the code is, you know, and we give a code. Of course, then they would just share the code. So I guess that wouldn't work.
Well, just do it to the first person that responds.
Yeah. Only one winner. Yeah.
There can be only one.
Or they could
one
get a Will's
per household.
A Will's Band of the Week T-shirt. We should make those.
Just write in a pen. Will's Band of the Week.
Yeah.
No, we can use that logo that has my name really big and you guys' names really tiny.
Yeah. To hell with that.
That was a father and son that put that together, right?
Yeah, that thing's awesome.
Have we heard
way,
back
guys.
From them? I'd like to hear what's going on. This kid's probably like graphic artist.
He's probably
now.
Hit it big by now. Yeah. Yeah. Especially he can use that. And put that on his resume.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the sky's the limit after that.
It's the new Shepherd Fairey.
Does that need an explanation?
He's the guy that did the Obama picture.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that
the hope that the thing. Obama. Yeah,
yeah. He's the next that guy.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's sign off.
All right.
We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @WillsBand. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.